This morning's first reading is from the letter to the Romans, chapter 14, starting with verse 1. Headed, "Do not judge another. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God."
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children, and all his possessions in payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and gave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to the Lord, their Lord, all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he could pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart."
From your heart, Bob? Do I really have to forgive? From my heart, I can't just say it and then hold the grudge. Man, that Jesus is tough. I forgive people all the time. You're forgiven. That's all right. Okay, no problem. Don't worry about it. But forgive someone from the heart, like put down the grudge and not pick it up again? I don't know about that. Our two readings this morning. really work on the same issue, and that's the issue of unity, of community. Unity of community. It's vital. And Paul writes, Paul had a particular problem because he was outside of the Jewish neighborhood. And there are people outside of the Jewish neighborhood that ate and did things that Jews didn't do. And there are things that Jews did that people outside the neighborhood didn't do. So the Jewish Christians wanted to recognize Sunday, the Sabbath day, one of the big Ten Commandments. And the Greeks among them who still wanted to follow Christ didn't do that. And the Greek people wanted to have their big pork barbecue. And the Jewish people didn't want to do that. And they're fighting each other. And so finally Paul says, look, will you get off it? That doesn't matter. You got the Son of God just left earth, and everything's changed. Forget about it. Let people be who they're going to be. And don't do this measuring bit with the person at the table next to you or the person on the other side of the aisle where you see if you're closer to God than they are. That's like two blades of grass, one saying, I'm closer to the sun than you are. Yeah, 93 million miles and 1 millimeter, there's 1 millimeter closer. And it's the same with people and with God. There's a story of a monk, two monks who'd taken their vows, including the vow of celibacy, and they're walking around through the countryside, and they come to this swollen river, and there is this gorgeous, knockout young woman standing at the bank like, oh dear, what shall I do? And the one monk picks her up and carries her across the river and puts her down. The two monks keep walking. And the other monk, the whole time they're walking, is just like all rattled, like, huh, huh. And the first monk can tell there's a problem here. He doesn't say anything, though. Mile passes, 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles. Finally, they stop for a break. And the second monk says, with your vows to God, I cannot believe that you touched that young woman. You picked her up and carried her across that river. Do you not care about the vows you've made? And the first monk said, brother, I set her down on the far bank. You've been carrying her all these miles since. Vive la différence. Vive la différence. That's what Paul was saying. Put aside this idea that it's a competition, that you're going to get closer to God than the other person, and then you can feel good about yourself when you pull them up to your level. It's not what it's about. Because at the end, we're all going to face the same God. And do the math. The scale that we're judged on is so huge that we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. Whether you're Mother Teresa or Jeffrey Dahmer, we're all in the same boat in the scale of things. So that's what Paul was talking about. Now, Jesus, he has spent this whole chapter talking about forgiveness. It started off with who will be the greatest when we get to heaven. And his answer to that is, first of all, be like a kid. We were talking about this last week. Be like a kid. Be humble. Don't think you're greater than you are. And then after that, he goes right into forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. And today, he says, forgive not seven times, but 77 times. Some readings also 70 times seven times. So, if you do something to me, look out after I've forgiven you the 490th time, because I'm coming after you. No. No. No, what Jesus is saying is, forgive, 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 and keep on forgiving. Now, caveat to this. Forgiving does not mean staying in an abusive relationship. Forgiving does not mean it's okay that he's a drunk, have another beer. Forgiving does not mean being a patsy and a doormat. Forgiving means putting that burden down and leaving it for God. That is forgiving. And Jesus says that's what you need to do. You need to put the burden down. You want to get to heaven? You want to get to that destination where we're all going? Put down the grudge. put the chip off your shoulder and live life more freely. Teresa and I, when we first married, moved to South Carolina. Drove 840 miles in a Chevette with two cats, their litter box, their food and water dish, and what possessions we could cram into that Chevy Chevette. And we left at the curbside furniture, a bed frame. We were newlyweds, crying out loud. Bookcases, books, not my record albums. Pillows, towels, all kinds of stuff. Most of our pots and pans, because we couldn't fit it in the Chevette. And I packed the car that morning when we left for our big adventure, the start of our life together. And we kept what blessings were most important to us. We held on to those things that had the deepest meaning. So a photo album was more important than a frying pan. And we drove 850 miles to South Carolina to start our new life together. And we got there, we got the cats inside and opened the hatchback. And I had packed the car, everything that had been set out in the kitchen. And there among the few possessions that we could take with us was a bag of kitchen garbage that I had packed in Mendon, New York, to take to Columbia, South Carolina. We didn't have our pots and pans. We didn't have my favorite sitting chair. We didn't have all these things, but we had a bag of garbage. This, my friends, is what Jesus is talking about when he says forgive. He's talking about don't be giving up things you need to keep. Keep carrying that garbage that you got no business holding on to. And you know what I am talking about. You know how much headspace you rent out to the people who tick you off. You know how much that particular situation eats at you, and you chew on that bone and you chew on that bone. You know how much sleep you lose. And you know how often you can't enjoy yourself somewhere in something because you're hauling garbage. You're hauling garbage and setting aside blessings so you can keep carrying it. That's what Christ is talking about. If you want to be a community, get rid of the garbage. Pick up the blessings. Pick up the good and the positive. So you don't focus on the fact that the guy hasn't had a bath in 2 weeks at least. You focus on the fact that he wants to share what little he has with you. You don't focus on the fact that the little baby's crying in church. You focus on the fact that she was just baptized and she's our little kid. You don't focus on the fact that their sexual orientation is different, that their voting record is different, that their skin color is different, that different. You don't focus on any of that. You focus on the blessing of another human soul occupying the same space with you. Because if you've ever been in a situation where you've been in a space where there is no other human soul, if you've ever been in a situation where you are profoundly lonely, you know how important any companionship is. Paul and Jesus both tell us, do the math. Do the math. If what you've got is not what you want, put it down. If anger and frustration are eating away at you, stop being angry. Stop being frustrated. Set that person in that situation in God's hands. Forget about it. Leave it and focus on what is good, and what is blessed, what is pure, what is true, what is honest. In Philippians, Paul tells you in the 4th chapter the things that you should focus on. Look it up on your own. We don't have time today. Look it up on your own. Those are the things we focus on. We don't focus on the C minus, but on the A's. We don't focus on, sure, you got detention, but hey, you managed to eat your lunch without bringing it home on your shirt, perhaps. We don't focus on the flaw because God does not focus on our flaw. We focus on the person and the love held within. And we forgive. And we live a life so much more abundant. And we walk that path with companions who trust us and whom we can trust. And when we get to the end together, we got no garbage at all. Amen. Mm-hmm.